producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Nick Redfern has four books out. We're not going to get to all four, sorry folks, but we'll cover right now Bloodline of the Gods, and we'll try to get maybe to the Men in Black book. Let's see if we have time. We have a question from one of our regular posters, Wade, on the table from the previous segment. Nick, your response?
Yeah, I mean, to deal with the second part first, I mean, this is an area that I steered away from in the book, but other researchers haven't. And, you know, there have been some writings on this whole Rh negative angle where the, you know, the writers have got, you know, there's almost like an undercurrent of racism involved. You know, the idea that these are the elite, and, you know, people of this bloodline are somehow superior over, you know, other ethnic groups, etc. And that's sort of a dangerous angle to go down. It's like a disrespectful angle, and you know, there's no reason to believe that that has even any merit. You know, I point out in the book, and this is an important issue, is that regardless of what people think about the Rh negative angle in relation to UFOs, the fact is that it's not like you find Rh negatives just in, you know, Caucasians or anything like that. You know, you find them, you know, in Caucasians, in African Americans, in Asian Americans, all across the board, you find Rh negatives. Now, the percentages are very small in each of those groups. There's one group of people where it's significantly higher, the Basque people of Spain, and that's something I talk about in the book. But, you know, to suggest, not the way he's doing, but I mean, you know, he's asking the question, you know, this issue of different groups and elites, that kind of thing. You know, I don't see any merit in the idea that, you know, this somehow implies that one group of people are superior over the other. I don't see any evidence of that at all, because, as I said, it is spread far and wide across, you know, all the various ethnic groups, etc.
Well, I just picked up a stat online. It says 15% of the white population are Rh negative, 7% of the African American population. Yep. Now, I don't know about the rest of it.
Well, Asian American is only roughly around about 1-2%. That's very low. But the important thing is, it's not like, as some people try to imply, something that is integral to one group of people and that's it, you know, and then the implications that go along with that. That's not the case at all. It's across the board.
Just to let you know, folks, I did write an email to Geneva asking her to illuminate us on this Rh negative factor, how it has affected her personality, other than there's a genetic thing that we almost had a child, it was a stillborn, but apparently if someone who was Rh positive like me and a person who is Rh negative have a child, after that they have to take some kind of medication or something.
Yeah, that's true. What happens is that when a woman becomes pregnant, obviously that, you know, the growing fetus is nourished by the mother. But a lot of people don't realize that the blood streams of the two actually don't cross. And, you know, very often in an Rh negative, Rh positive situation, there aren't always problems. But if, say, for example, you know, a woman has to go through this process, which is called amniocentesis, you know, sometimes it may be necessary to extract, you know, blood from the fetus if there are any issues or concerns, et cetera, et cetera. If during that process, you know, which involves, in simple terms, it's like the insertion of a needle, if during that process some of the growing baby's blood crosses with the mother's blood, the mother's immune system essentially views the unborn fetus as, no pun intended, as alien, and tries to kill the fetus. That's why drugs have to be taken, medication taken, to combat this particular issue from occurring. And the, you know, the symptoms range from the worst case scenario, obviously death, to things like acute anemia, which, you know, anemia in a person, if you've got like a, I don't know, like an anorexic teenage girl or something, she can become anemic. But, you know, if she recovers and eats well again, the anemia eventually, with help and treatment as well, will go away. But if an unborn fetus develops anemia in the womb, you know, it can cause lasting effects when the baby's born, you know, that it cannot recover from because it didn't develop right in the first place. So, yeah, there's a lot of issues to be wary of when it comes to Rh-negative/Rh-positive pregnancies. But the good thing is, you know, today the technology and the medications do exist to combat this. That's why in today's world, you know, a mother is always carefully tested for blood group, type, etc., and as is, you know, and to check it against the father as well.
There you go. So the thing I wonder about here with all these theories, hybrid aliens, that kind of stuff, as you pretty much explain, it's hard enough to prove what happened yesterday. We're not going to prove ever, unless there's some kind of smoking gun somewhere, what happened 3,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 years ago.
No, you're right. Mm-hmm. No, we're not. All we can do our best to try and understand it, interpret the old texts and things like that. And you're right. The only way that it could happen, that we might have the answer, would be through some massively alternative explanation that was totally unforeseen. I mean, I guess, you know, the closest equation I can think of, it's very different, but it kind of makes the point. You know, we hear all these stories for years about government agencies watching people, et cetera, and monitoring them and things like this. And then suddenly out of the blue, we get this guy, Edward Snowden, who blows the whistle on this gigantic program, which involves the, you know, the social media and phone record collection of every citizen of the United States of America. Now, that was sort of totally left of field. You know, yes, there were rumors, there were stories, but he came out of nowhere and blew the whole whistle on this entire thing. And, you know, the country was stunned, but really didn't stand up and say anything about it, you know, just said, okay, that's how it is. So in other words, I think things like that could potentially happen with the UFO subject. Obviously, it's dictated by whether or not something's actually been hidden. And I think something is. But the big question is, what is it? And I think, you know, even though I have doubts about what happened at Roswell, you know, being extraterrestrial, I do think something significant and weird happened. Now, clearly, with something like Roswell, freedom of information hasn't penetrated anything. You know, the Air Force told us it was a Mogul balloon. And for the record, as a lot of people know, I don't believe the Air Force was lying. I think they went looking and found nothing, and felt the responsibility was still on their part to try and come up with an explanation. But, you know, we could have a totally unforeseen situation occur where the truth comes tumbling out about Roswell. And I would sort of apply that in a skewed way, if you like, to the ancient astronaut angle, that maybe one day the whole thing would be exposed overnight because of something so alternative. You know, interpreting texts and reinterpret them and trying to understand them, trying to find corroborative data is good, but it hasn't taken us beyond the theoretical stages yet. Maybe something could, maybe something never will, but, you know, we're still at that stage of you know, just looking for answers rather than actually having them.
Well, we also have a situation here where ancient texts, the versions we see today, are the result of politics, where a group of people get together and they decide, we're going to have this and we're going to change that phrase because that's not really going to work for us. And that's how we do it. Unfortunately, now it looks like they're trying to do that with history. So, for example, this happens in your state, Texas, where the school officials are busy manipulating what they want in textbooks. And because the state of Texas is so large, textbook publishers will tend to take those books and send them nationwide. So suddenly you have people, students, learning an alternate version of history, which is not good. Okay. Nick Redfern's book is called Bloodline of the Gods, and a little bit later we'll be talking about his latest book on the three men in black called Men in Black, Personal Stories and Eerie Adventures. This is an eerie show. We have Kurt Collins as our co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Many are in disbelief today after word of shocking allegations against a Minnesota-based talk syndication company known as GCN. It's claimed that they're the fourth largest talk syndication company in the U.S., making it even more scandalous that they've been accused of helping business owners expose themselves on a massive scale. Let's go live to Tom for more on this story.
It's being called the greatest exposure of our lifetime, while other business owners are beginning to step forward claiming they, too, exposed themselves. With the help of GCN.
It's true. They're all guilty. Every last one of them. GCN helped me get the exposure my company needed, and just think, that was years ago. Today, GCN has like 700 affiliate stations and over 6 million downloads from iTunes and their website every month.
Imagine the exposure your company can get.
Expose your business to the masses. Email advertise at GCNlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. GCN.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
Ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor recommended Say Ah Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com, the new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Nick Redfern, and he has written four books. We'll try to get to the one on the Men in Black, the new stories about Men in Black. Maybe we'll get to the others a little bit later, but I think we might have to do a separate episode. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. Chris O'Brien is on special assignment. Now, when I brought up the, shall we say, the efforts to make ancient texts politically correct. You had an observation to make, Nick Redfern.
Well, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you do find that, you know, all of history, and unfortunately, that's how it's always been, and it probably will be. The trick, I guess, is to let people know when that's occurring. When you start going down that path of censoring history and changing history, then things become extremely dangerous. You know, that's equally as dangerous as the other trend that's going on, the whole issue of dumbing down society. You know, not so much lying to them or changing things. You know, this is more like a Brave New World situation, like Aldous Huxley, where people aren't denied data or books. They just don't care about books, you know, or history. They just don't care. It's not like Orwell's 1984, where it's oppressive and, you know, this is banned and that's banned. You know, Brave New World is more along the lines of people just don't care. You know, they couldn't care less. And so, you know, the danger is, I think, I see sort of bits of that across the board in, you know, the world today. You know, people say the world's going to hell. But then if you look at, for example, the number of people who actually bother to get out and vote, it's actually, you know, if you look at people who don't vote, it's an incredible percentage. Well, you know, you can't complain about the state of the world if you're not willing to do something about it by, you know, exercising your right to vote. But if, you know, but people just don't bother. And I mean, it's kind of like the Snowden thing. You know, I mean, you look at the uprising, if you like, or demonstrations surrounding things like the Vietnam War. You know, the whole thing with the NSA revelations was that every single US citizen, their entire social media data is being collected. And what happened? You know, it's like locust chirping. That's what happened.
I have a little bit of a theory about that, and that's partly the world that we live in, and we are so conditioned to ignore, and we have to just drive down the street. If you paid attention to every advertisement, you'd crash your car, and we're constantly barraged by insignificant information and advertisements, and people in learning how to tune that out, I think they've shut a lot of important things out, and the news is just noise to them. They're missing it.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good point. I never thought about that one, but now that is a good point. You know, people just shutting things out. But, you know, and it comes down to, you know, if people don't look into things and don't care about what's going on in the world, then it's almost like it's not, you know, a 1984 censorship. It's almost like self-censorship. It may not be being done deliberately or consciously, but it still comes down to self-censorship. And, you know, and I think the other disturbing thing is a lot of the major news outlets, you know, rather than reporting the news, they report it according to what political bias they are. You know, the news really should be about reporting the news, not putting one party's spin on the news. You know, the news should be independent, but it's not.
But the problem here with the news is you see it one time, and this goes back to the days I was a broadcast newsman. The news was a public service. You weren't meant to make a profit from it, especially here in the U.S. You broadcast news as part of your license requirements, and you had to present information fairly, cover all sides of an issue, that sort of thing. And then, and this happened really in the 1980s and beyond, where there was less control by the FCC over the licensing requirements, and the news departments were becoming profit centers. The entertainment divisions realized, well, we can make money from news. A lot of ratings, we sell ads, and that has, even if it's not a conscious influence, certainly a subconscious influence on where the news takes the stories from. And we have, for example, famously, the largest cable news network in the United States, we all know who that is owned by the entertainment division of a large corporation. Okay? It's meant to entertain. But that's the real problem here. We don't know what's really going on in the world because we're seeing the news slanted to entertain you, to provoke you, to get you to keep watching so they get ratings and they sell ads.
Well, you know, I mean, again, that tells us a lot about the state of the world. But, I mean, things can, you know, things can change radically, you know, over time. I mean, who would have thought 30 years ago that, you know, today's kids wouldn't be outside playing on the bikes, you know. They're sitting at home texting, getting fat and diabetic and not leaving the house. You wouldn't believe that because we would look back at history and say, well, kids have always gone out on the bikes and fallen off and grazed their knees and built camps and, you know, that kind of thing that we all did as kids. You wouldn't be able to foresee that happening. So it's not impossible that 20 or 30 years from now, we assume doom and gloom is going to get worse. Again, something totally unforeseen could happen as weird, not like the internet, which changed, you know, the planet, but something unforeseen that also radically alters society, but that may, you know, change things from how they are right now.
The fact that we're so plugged in to the world these days, from our smartphones to our tablets to our computers, even TV and even radio, we're so plugged in here, does that also make us more vulnerable to influence by people who don't have our best interests at heart? I mean, if kids can go outside and play, that's one thing. It's an individual activity or a group activity. But they're plugged into the entire world. That enables the possibility of control, mass control.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, you know, I mean, a few years ago, everybody, you had this subculture in the conspiracy research field that, oh, you know, there's going to be some big emergency and the government's going to say we've all got to have implants, you know, tracking devices, that kind of thing. And everybody was in an uproar. But everybody has been implanted with tracking devices. They're called iPhones, you know, but nobody creates an uproar that everywhere they go, every single movement can be monitored. Every social activity online can be monitored. That's basically the same as having the chip in your arm that everybody was getting up in arms about in the conspiracy realm. But, you know, they're not saying that about the iPhone. But here's the worrying thing. They are willingly and knowingly carrying the iPhone around and upgrading it when the new one comes out. So, in other words, you know, you have this sort of clash of scenarios where somebody's in uproar about one thing and then doesn't even bring the other one up. But it's basically the same scenario, which does provoke, you know, the whole issue of control and manipulation, that the more cool stuff that goes online, the more people get attracted to it and the more time they spend doing it.
We have Nick Redfern. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Rick Ostick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID, I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to idstronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit idstronghold.com today.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, in our previous segment, Nick Redfern was talking about the fact that we're all kind of connected. We all have to get the latest iPhone. In fact, we're doing this show on the very weekend that the new iPhones are being sold. But you know what? Let me raise one thing here because I want to move to other topics, Nick Redfern, about control. Apple has gone one step further with a product called Apple Watch. It goes on your wrist. It has sensors to pick up your bodily functions. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's for fitness tracking. Obviously, if you go out for a run or if you're just sitting there and suddenly maybe your pulse is too fast or too slow, it's picking up all that thing. It's giving you signals by the taptic engine, which, you know, if you press something or do something, you feel a little sensation like something's clicking on your wrist. Okay? Doesn't that really convey the possibility of an amazing amount of control? We're sticking that thing on our wrist. Let's get paranoid.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does. And I'm quite sure that, you know, in the near future, you know, it'll become sort of more fashionable where you'll wear something like that and it'll contain all your passwords for this and that. You know, you just scan your wrist in front of your laptop, that kind of thing, you know. I'm sure all that's going to happen. And the problem is, of course, the more that the newer generations come along, they'll have known no different. And, you know, it's more easy, I think, to have control over those people. But, I mean, you know, I have to have people say to me that, you know, that's bleak and nobody ever does anything. Everybody sits at home and does this. Well, no, they don't, you know. You just do what I do. You make a conscious decision to enjoy life. Yeah, I work 8 to 5 in front of a laptop, you know, working as a writer. But nights, you know, unless I'm doing radio, like tonight, I take nights off, take weekends off. You know, for me, after 5 o'clock on a, you know, an afternoon, and or every weekend, it's either taking a girlfriend out to see a band, or, you know, I'm big into soccer, I watch a lot of soccer, or going out to see, like, a gig or whatever, hanging out with friends and having a good time. You know, I do the things I've always done because for me, you know, sitting at home texting someone, how are you? Well, that, to me, that's not fun. I use a cell phone for work and I go out and have a social life. You know, it's not like we're being banned from leaving the house. It's people's choice not to do this or not to do that because it's easier to sit at home and text, you know. And so a lot of it is down to, it's actually down to people's choice. But if your choice is to sit at home texting, well, good luck, you know. I don't care, but it's like, to me, that's not living a life, you know.
Well, I know when my son comes to America, he lives in Spain, he comes to America to visit us, it quite often, he arrives in the plane, maybe we'll then go for dinner before he goes home. And he takes his iPhone out and he's texting.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff was considered science fiction a short while ago, and it was supposed to expand our horizons and not have people sit alone in rooms.
Yeah, I mean, it would drive me insane if I was in that position. You know, for me, you know, like I said, I'm big into soccer. I go at least, you know, I'd see at least two soccer games a week on TV, and I'd probably watch a live soccer game, you know, like in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where there's, like, teams, probably once every 2 weeks. You know, for me, that's living, you know, sport. That's my big thing, soccer. Again, like I said, nobody's forced to do any of this, but people do. You know, in the same way that people can take the view that watching everybody's social media is outrageous, or they can just sit back and say, oh, well, it's just the state of the world, you know, I've just got to put up with it. It's people's choice. Like I said, that's the disturbing thing. There's no jackbooted people banging on the doors in, like, Spain or France or anywhere telling you to do this or that. People are making their minds up not to let the kids out, you know, and the kids themselves are making a mind up, hey, Dad, I don't want a bike for Christmas after all, you know, I want something that's going to ensure I stay in the bedroom longer.
I want that new iPhone 6S Plus.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, UFO fans are really out of this. I mean, you can't skywatch indoors, you know. I guess you could set up a camera, but, you know, you're missing it. I think we need to have some kind of campaign of off-the-grid fun. You know, we'll look at Nick as the model. If soccer's not your thing, you do something else, but just get out there.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's also sort of, you know, ties in with health issues as well. I mean, you look at the rise around the world in things like obesity and diabetes in young kids in the last few years. It's grown incredible levels. And a lot of that is just due to immobility, you know, lethargic behavior. When I was five, you know, when I was at school, you know, I used to play soccer for the school and rugby and, you know, and I still play a bit of soccer now and again. Now, but you know, this is one of the downsides as well. Is doing nothing means you start to get sick.
Let's take a voyage to the Men in Black, the Galaxy Defenders. This is the second book we'll talk about on the show, and you've got the title here: Men in Black: Personal Stories and Eerie Adventures. So we've been talking about Men in Black since the early 50s when Gray Barker wrote the book. They knew too much about flying saucers, which focused at the beginning on the late Albert Bender, and where he supposedly was confronted by three men in dark suits or black suits when he allegedly found out too much about UFOs. But the question here is, Nick Redfern, was there new and different about Men in Black to report about?
Well, there's always plenty to report about. I mean, this book is actually my third book on the Men in Black. The first one was called On the Trail of the Saucer Spies, and the second one was The Real Men in Black, and this is just Men in Black. Not to say that these aren't real as well, but you've got to come up with a different title for each one. But it's probably my favourite thing to write about, you know, and I've done dozens of articles on it as well, and I get tons of reports from people, which, you know, is inevitable. If you write on a particular subject, people read about it, they contact you. But you know, people have this image of the Men in Black, Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, and, you know, that's about as far away as you can get from the real Men in Black stories. I mean, for the most part, they're sort of weird, creepy little skinny guys with pale faces and ill-fitting clothes, and, you know, they act in a weird fashion and very, very strange. I mean, I've looked into a lot of these cases, and people just say, well, this is just nonsense, you know, it couldn't be. These people are just making this stuff up. but I really don't think they are. I get so many weird cases from just people who really don't have that much interest, but they read something about it and they're like, wow, that's very similar to something happened to me 25 years ago or whatever, and they contact you. But, I mean, a lot of these Men in Black stories, this is something a lot of people don't realize. A lot of the stories I get, it almost sounds like suspiciously like and intriguingly like the witness experienced the Man in Black encounter in like an altered state, you know, that almost in like a dream-like state, not in the sense that they were imagining it or making it up, but, you know, if there was some sort of almost like a brain glitch and suddenly the Men in Black manifested. I mean, I've got a story in the book, for example, involving a guy named Peter Beckman. And Peter told me this one particular story about how in the late 1960s, he had this experience with two Men in Black, a really creepy, weird experience, while him and a friend were watching Rosemary's Baby. And as I point out in the book, and he openly admitted, you know, at the time, during the day, they'd been doing mescaline and pot. And when they were watching Rosemary's Baby, and it came to the sacrifice section, what happened was that they both started to feel weird and saw through the windows this strange old-fashioned black car pull up. And then they had almost like a vaguely missing time type of period where these two creepy white-faced MIB came in the house, and both of them experienced it. Now, you know, the skeptic would say something along the lines, well, you openly admit you are mescaline.
Let's break it right here. We'll get into what might have happened with those people. Nick Redfern, talking about Men in Black. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
Ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor recommended Say Ah Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com, the new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
This is Sharon Hunt. Before using Heart and Body Extract, my energy level was very, very low. I could only walk a few feet and then would have to sit down. I was tired and lethargic. But after taking Heart and Body Extract, my energy level has improved greatly, and I can now walk longer distances without getting tired so fast. Thank you, Heart and Body Extract.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I'm the president of the largest private news and research network in the world. and I paid for this airtime because I have an important message to the American people. There's a change coming that the government isn't telling you about. This change has deep implications for life in America, from where you shop to the doctors you visit and the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. Thing is, I was right then, too. A few years ago, I warned that housing prices would collapse. They did. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash. They did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all.
You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
We'd like you to get into Paracast Plus, and the way you find out about it is to go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. And what we offer is the ad-free version of this show, higher quality audio, and also our exclusive After the Paracast podcast, and it's hard to say five times fast, especially backwards, After the Paracast. And to sign up, it's just $5 a month, $50 a year, $175 for 5 years. But if you join for a year, you get a copy of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley by Chris O'Brien. If you sign up for a year, if you go the whole hog, the full Monty, 5 years, you get Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. And you also get Stalking the Tricksters by Chris O'Brien. Check it out. Learn how to sign up. Plus.theparacast.com. Plus.theparacast.com. Nick Redfern is now talking about some stories from his book, Men in Black, Personal Stories and Eerie Adventures. And this is eerie. Go on, Nick.
Well, yeah, just talking about this guy, Peter Beckman, is actually a bit of a celebrity in many respects. He does voiceover work for TV and computer games, things like this, like Street Fighter, and he wrote a book called Dead Hollywood. And he had this experience with like the Men in Black in the late 60s after him and a friend had taken mescaline. And while they were watching Rosemary's Baby, I actually said the Sacrifice section. I meant the Black Mass track came on when they were listening to the soundtrack. And they both experienced these two weird, pale-faced, creepy MIB. The sort that Keel used to write about in things like the Mothman Prophecies. And I get so many stories like this where there's sort of like a shift in the atmosphere and the person's mind doesn't feel quite right. And then they have this odd experience with the MIB. And it's almost as if it occurred in somewhat of like, the closest parallel I can think of would be in the fictional world. It would be something like the Matrix. You know, you're almost in a reality that isn't quite reality after all. And that's why it leads me to believe that, you know, there is a real MIB phenomenon, but for the most part, it's not, you know, the Tommy Lee Jones, Will Smith secret government group or black budget agency running around threatening people. It's far more weirder and more, in many respects, more subtle and more way out than that.
Now, looking over these Men in Black over the years, a lot of the cases we heard about that became stuff of legend occurred decades ago. So in all the cases that you explored over Men in Black, covering three books now, anything in the last 10 years that you could report that are significant?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say a good 75% of the cases in the book are recent cases. You know, I mean, I've got one from Gibraltar in City Cyprus in 2013. I've got other cases. The latest one I've got in the book is 2014. And I get a lot of up-to-date stories. It's not, as people think, just, you know, something from when Bender and Barker and Keel and many just vaguely into the 70s. No, I mean, the reports today are the same. You get the white-faced little guys shuffling around, the fedoras, people letting them in late at night and, you know, feeling that they're almost like their willpower is gone when they let them in the house, that kind of thing. Because who's going to let three creepy-looking, five-foot-tall guys in fedoras in your house at midnight? No one's going to do that, but people say they do. And so, you know, the book itself, there's probably about 22 case reports, and then there's sort of 9 or 10 papers from people in ufology, like David Weatherly, who talks about parallels between the Men in Black and this controversial black-eyed children phenomenon. And then somebody else, Jason Offutt, talks about the Men in Black versus the shadow people. So in other words, this part of it is sort of researchers in the field offering their views on ways to try and explain or rationalize parts of this phenomenon.
So basically the original meme of Men in Black being possible government agents, we throw that all out the window. Of course, if we go back to Albert Bender, he wrote a book called Flying Saucers and the Three Men, where the Men in Black were really E.T.
Yeah. I mean, well, Bender's story is an interesting one because a lot of people just say, you know, he was like this fantasist. I don't know if you know this, but he lived in an attic in this old house in Bridgeport, Connecticut. He actually created an altar in the attic to try and summon up supernatural entities, which is, you know, probably not a good thing to do.
You think?
I've had a lot of experience in the occult, and I know the backlash that people can have when they dabble into all this stuff. But that's, you know, that's an entirely different show. But Bender had, you know, he converted this attic into what he called his Chamber of Horrors, and he had paintings all around the walls of demons and djinn and all sorts of things. And then, lo and behold, these weird MIB manifested in his room. They were like shadowy, glowing eyes and had this odor of brimstone about them. And, you know, everything started to go wrong in his life. And, you know, this is, a lot of the story in Flying Saucers and the Three Men that he wrote, it comes off like bad sci-fi. But I think there's enough data and something quite subtle to suggest that he did have some bizarre experiences. Now, whether they had an external component, that's a big question. But I think a lot of them happened to him internally, almost in like a visionary state. But again, the big question is how much was the product of his mind? How much was something being projected into his mind, if you like? But it wasn't a case, I don't think, of, you know, people banging on the door and coming in the room. I mean, even Barker himself once said that, you know, he actually wondered if he'd been in the room when Bender was having his experiences, if Bender would actually have been sort of laying on the bed, staring at the ceiling, kind of in and out of its state, you know, not lying or fantasizing, but just, you know, his brain in just some reworked state, if you like.
Well, the point here is that the book, Flying Saucers and the Three Men, was published by Gray Barker.
Yeah.
Gray Barker very likely heavily edited that book, so I don't know how much he altered from the original. Mm-hmm. I will also say that I did see Albert Bender lecture on that story from that book.
Oh, well.
At one of Jim Moseley's meetings in the mid-1960s.
Mm.
And I should point out here is that after the lecture, we all went out to dinner. Bender, myself, Jim Moseley, Jim's ex-wife Sandra was with him. And she prided herself as being kind of an amateur psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And her observation is after talking to Bender, not just listening to his lecture, but just talking to him informally in relaxed surroundings over dinner, she thought he had issues. Just to point that out.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because, I mean, one of the things I did doing the research into the first book I did, the second book, The Real Men in Black, was to not just look at Bender's story, but look at him as a person. Now, it's clear from, I mean, I actually got like a 2-inch thick file from a guy who previously in the UFO subject, who sent me all his correspondence. There was like an inch of it was just correspondence with people in the 50s in the UFO field, and most of it was related to the Men in Black and Bender. And I actually got photocopies of some of Bender's original letters he sent out to people. And it's clear, you know, he was a very solitary character. I mean, he talks about how he'd sort of fallen in love and met this English woman who he was going to marry, and he did marry. You know, they stayed married, had a long, happy marriage. And what's interesting is up until that point, you know, he was dominated by all this weird stuff and occult stuff, and everything went wrong in his life. He meets his girlfriend, he gets married, they have a normal life, all this stuff goes away. You know, so you can make a case that Bender, you know, an isolated individual with all these, you know, bizarre beliefs and scenarios and things going on, may well have affected his mindset until he came out the other side. That's why I always tell people, you know, it's important to have a normal life away from all this. You know, and it's weird because sometimes people actually find it strange when they say, you know, did you see the new episode of Ancient Aliens last night? And I say, oh, no, I didn't. Well, why not? Well, I was out watching a band. Oh, you're out watching a band on a Friday night, not watching Ancient Aliens. So, well, of course I'm not watching that or watching Hangar One. You know, I do enough of that in the day writing books. I want to switch off. And Bender, I don't think, had an outlet to switch off. He's by his own admission. You know, he did all his UFO stuff in the day. He lived in this attic with his supernatural altar at night. And at the weekends, his only form of entertainment was going to the cinema and watching things like Invasion of the Body Snatchers and This Island Earth and whatever, you know. It was, you can't live like that and have a sane life, you know.
I'll tell you. Okay. That's Albert K. Bender. We've got more to talk about with regard to Men in Black with Nick Redfern, who's written a new book on Men in Black. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. With Gene and with Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.